Teisha in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara of Bava Metzia, Daf Dalet. We begin 5 lines from the top with the words Piv Yochiach. We continue to learn for the safety and success of Tzahal, bringing back the Chatufim B'mehera in good health, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be Shomer Al Kol, all of Klal Yisrael. Okay, in yesterday's shiur we had brought down a Kal V'chomer from Reb Chiya, who said that if a person who is Modi B'miktsas has to make a shvua, he admits to half of the Taina, but he denies the other half, so he has to go and pay the half that he admits to, obviously, and he has to go and make a shvua on the other half. So Rav Chi had brought down a Kal V'chomer, so how much more so by Edim, who caused you to go and pay for half the Taina, so then you have to make a shvua of Modi B'miktsas on the other half, even though the Edim say nothing about the other half. And we had trouble understanding Rav Chiya's Kal V'chomer, and we went through several iterations of a possible way to understand it, and were unsuccessful. So we pick up again with the words Piv Yochiach, trying to figure out exactly what Rav Chiya's Kal V'chomer was. So Gemara says Piv Yochiach, and Rashi explains Mode Miktsas Ataina Sha'al Ma Shechkoper Ufiv Lo Hoda Hu Nishba. So this is the, again, the reiteration of the basic thing of Modu B'miktsas. So because his mouth said that, yes, he's Modu on half, so the Torah tells us, the Shvua Sdar Raisa, he has to make a Shvua on the other half. Now, Ma Lefiv Shekein Ein B'Hachosha. So we wanted to suggest yesterday, the reason why you couldn't make the Kal V'chomer is because with his mouth, there is no hachosha. If Edom come along and say, no, you are wrong, you don't owe the money, he still has to make the shvua mode mixas. So therefore, that couldn't be the Kal V'chomer, because if Edom come along, there is a din of hachosha. So the Gemara says, no, let's try to answer that in a different way than we did yesterday, by saying, Eid Echod Yochiach, a single witness can be the raya, sheyeshno b'hachosha. A single witness, when he comes and says, you, in fact, owe that money. So a single witness will go and make you make a shvua. You can't take money based upon a single witness, but you can go and have a hachosha of a single witness if another witness comes along and it's meichashim, so then we don't listen to the single witness. So then, if you have an eid echad, sheyesh no b'hachosha, nevertheless, umchayv shvua, so then, too, if two witnesses come along where there is a din of hachosha, so then you should also be chayev a shvua of moda b'miktsas. So let us say, therefore, that it's not because piv mochiach, it's because eid echad yochiach. Aye, but what about an eid echad? Ma le'eid echad shekein al ma shemeid hu nishba. When an eid echad comes and says, you owe that money, so he can't make you pay, but he can make you make a shvua. But he makes you make a shvua on the entire thing. The eid echad says, you owe $100, so you have to make the shvua on the entire $100, as opposed to the two witnesses that come along, Tomer be'edim, shama shekofar hu nishba. So they're making you make a shvua on something that they had no say in whatsoever. They're saying you owe $50. The other $50 we don't know anything about. Nevertheless, you're telling me that you make a Kal V'chomer to the other $50 from the eid echad? The eid echad is making you make a shvua on everything that he said, whereas the Edim are not making you make a shvua on what they said. They're making you say shvua on what they didn't say. So that can't be the reason. So Gemara says, no, now let's go back and do what we call a tzad hashoveh. Piv yochiach. By the piv, the person is only admitting on half, but he therefore has to make a shvua on the other half. So too, the Edim, they're telling you, the two Edim are saying, you owe this, so you have to make a shvua on the other half. You're going to tell me there's no hachosha? Well, by a eid echad, there is a din of hachosha. So we have lo ri'izeh k'rizeh, lo ri'izeh k'rizeh. The common factor between the two of them is not hachosha, and is not that he's making the shvua on what he didn't make a statement about. The piv and the two edim aren't making a statement about the second thing, but there is no din of hachosha. And where there is a din of hachosha, so then we have, well, what about the person's individual hodah for which there is no hachosha? So lo rizek rizek, lo rizek rizek. So what's the bottom line, the common denominator between piv yochiach and the eid echad? So hatzad hashavah shebehen ish aidei taina. They each have a taina. They're making a specific statement. Ukfira, and there's something that the person denies, and that's what he has to make the shvua on. Hein boin v'nishba. So therefore, so too by the eidim. Af ani ovi edim, we can say, let's bring the case of the two edim that say yes on the $50. They know nothing about the other $50. That shayidei taina, since there's a taina over here, yes, you owe $50. Ukfira, and there's a denial of the other $50. Heim boin v'nishba, and therefore, let us say, because of the tzad hashava, that in fact the edim do have a Kal V'chomer, just like by the piv yochiach and the single aid, they have a taina and kafira. So too, the two witnesses, the edim, they have a taina and a kafira. So let us now suggest this is how you learn out the Kavah Chomer Rav Chiya. Where it says, still, we got a problem. This Tzad HaShavah, Malat Tzad HaShavah Shebehen, Shekein Lo Huchzak Kafran. In neither of these two situations is he found definitively to be, in fact, a lawyer, a Kafran. Because when the Eid Echad, that's not definitive. He's an Eid Echad. If it was two Eidim, then it would be definitive. But here, Lo Huchzak Kafran, as Rashi says, Amasher Kafar, Eino Muchzak Kafran. That which he denies, the other 50 bucks, he's not found to be a Kafran. His own admission, so he's only talking about the 50 bucks that he does owe. The other 50 bucks, he certainly says, I don't know, so he's not a kafran. And even when there's one witness, that one witness doesn't have the ability to make him into a vadai kafran. As Rashi points out, at the end of that, Rashi, Eino nema lachisho ulachziko kafran. Yeah, he's believed enough to make you make a shua, but bottom line is, he doesn't define that you are a kafran. He only can make you make a shua. But if you make that shua, so then you're not a kafran. So therefore, that's different as opposed to the two witnesses. They definitely make you into a liar for that 50 bucks. You're denying the whole thing. And they're saying, yes, you're a liar. Because the 50 bucks, we have two witnesses. And two witnesses will go and win. He'll have to pay that 50 bucks despite the fact that he disagrees. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Are you telling me Eidim make a person into a Vadai Kafran? We're going to fundamentally attack that point. Ube Eidim mi huchzak Kafran. How are you telling me that the guy is definitely considered a Kafran in regards to Eidus? After all, I'll show you the following. V'amar Rav Idi bar Oven, Amar Rav Chista. Rav Idi bar Oven says the name Rav Chista. Hakofer b'milva kosherly Eidus. If in fact somebody is kofer b'milva, as Rashi says, bein al kula, whether he's kofer the entire milva, then I'll mix it's only part of the milva. And then ubo edim veidu achlo nishba. And witnesses come along before he swears about this. And they come along and say, no, you owe the 50 bucks. The other 50 we don't know anything about. Nevertheless, this person, hakover for milva, kosher li edus. He remains a kosher witness. Why is that? So Rashi explains, the lo amrin and gazlan, we don't say this guy's a gazlan and he's possible to give a shvua. Because v'atorah amar, altoshes rosha, aid, you're not allowed to have a rosha be an aid. So if this guy's proven to be a kafran, he wouldn't be able to be an aid. The kivan, the milvil hotzah nitna, because of this fundamental principle that when you give somebody money, you're lending the money, you don't expect to get the same money back. That money is going to be used, obviously. And therefore, when this person used that money, and now he's denying it, duma, tzorech lahotzia, he needed that money. The sovar, and he says, ad dahavali zuzi uparanale, I will eventually get money back and be able to pay this guy back. However, vimodinale hashta, but if I were to admit to him now that I own the whole amount, yit ba'eni miyad, he's going to take me to court right now and try to get the money back. I don't got it right now. And therefore, when you're kofer and a milver, you're not necessarily proven to be a kafran. As we have discussed, this person really says, I want to pay the guy back. He was nice to me. I just don't have the money right now. So I'll say, okay, oh, 50 bucks I owe you, but the other 50 I don't owe you because I'm just trying to get it. And then when I get it, I'll give it to him, Mibodha. And that's why we make him make a shvua. So we shouldn't do that because that's wrong. As opposed to when you're kofer, b'pikadon, the Gemara continues, b'pikadon, possibly aidus, as Rashi continues, avala kofer b'pikadon, if a person denies a b'pikadon, hey, there's no such psychological story to say he really wants to pay the guy back, he just doesn't have the money. No, you're not allowed to use that b'pikadon. Afilo amiktsas, even if a little bit you deny, ubo eidim veidu, and witnesses come along and say, hey, you're a liar. And even though he's admitting to part of it, but not the other half, possibly Eidus. This guy's now a Kafran. He's proven to be a Rasha, and therefore he's possibly Eidus. The Mai Havale Gabi Pikadon, Lishtamute Nafshe. Why would he have any right psychologically to go and say, I don't owe you the rest of the Pikadon? He can't say, well, I'm going to get the rest of the money, and then I'll admit and I'll give it back to him. No, this is Pikadon. You had no right to use it. What about the following swara? He really is a nice guy, but he lost it. He's going to find it and look for it and look for it and look for it. And when he finally finds it, he'll give it back. So the Gemara says in Daf Hey, we'll learn tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, that Mukminon b'da'asu sadi. The witnesses came. They say, no, the witness is coming saying, no, you have the Pikadon. So therefore, he is a definitely Kafran, and therefore, the Pikadon possibly Eidus. So therefore, we challenge the basic assumption that when two Eidim come, he's Huchzak Kafran. No, Lav Dafka. If this was a Milva, he's not Huchzak Kafran, and therefore, a Kavah Homer is a good Kavah Homer from the Tzad HaShoveh. So the Gemara says, no, we still got a problem. El Parichachi. Here, we could still find the problem with Rav Chiya because The person with his own mouth or a single witness, there is no din of hazama. But by the two witnesses, there is a din of hazama. Are you going to tell me by a single witness, he can be proven wrong? If the single witness says you were borrowing the money on Tuesday at 10 o'clock in New York, and two witnesses come along and say, no, on 10 o'clock on Tuesday, you were with us in Chicago. You weren't in New York. So there is a din of hazama, but there isn't a full din of hazama. He's no longer believed, but he doesn't have to make the payment when you do kasher zolam lasos. If you have two witnesses, so then they would have to make the payment that they tried to make the person pay. Here, when you have only one witness, he's no longer believed, this one witness, but he doesn't have to pay. So there really is no full din of hazama. So therefore, maybe that could be the tzad shava, that these two, they don't have a din of hazama, but the edim, they do have a din of hazama, and therefore it's not a good tzad shavish man. Therefore, the kavah chomer is lost. So the word says, again, no, that's still not good, because hazama does apply to a certain extent to the eidechad, and therefore that can't be the critical factor. Because halo kasher Rav Chiya, Torah hazama lo parach. Rav Chiya says, no, that's not a problem. Just because the two witnesses have a full din of hazama, but the one witness does have a partial din of hazama, he is no longer believed. Therefore, don't ask this question. Torah hazama lo parach. As Rashi says, Eino chashuva lo pircha. That wasn't considered to be a significant enough problem to Rav Chiya, because the kivan de eidechod yesh no bazama. As I pointed out, there is an aspect of hazama libatale do so that he doesn't have his testimony accepted anymore. You won't have to make a shua based upon his testimony. So it's the same thing. The eidush shnei eidim. Even though there's a full din of hazama there, but there's an aspect of hazama, and therefore that doesn't ruin the tzad hashava b'hem, and therefore that is finally the answer, Rav Chiya's explanation, what he was talking about. Now we go back to yesterday's shir. In the middle of yesterday's shir, we had said that one of the Amorayim, the Tanatuna, when it says Tanatuna, it means that one of the Amorayim brought a Mishnah or a Braisa to support the claim. So we had brought down that one of the Amorayim, this Tanatuna, had brought down our Mishnah in support of Rav Chiya. So we'll go over that right again and prove right now we're going to suggest that it's wrong. Elo de Karmar Vitana Tuna, and yesterday's year when we said the Amori came along and said, I will show you that our Mishnah supports Rav Chiya. So the Gemara now says, that is not correct. Mi Dami, how can the Raya from our Mishnah in fact support Rav Chiya's statement? What was that? Because Hasam, in the case of Rav Chiya's statement, Lamalve Isle Sahade, the person who lent the money is now bringing the witnesses to say, hey, you owe me the money. And that's why he has to pay the 50 that the witnesses are saying that he owes, and he has to make a shul on the other 50 because of Rav Chiya's Kal V'Chomer. However, La Lova, the person who borrowed the money, less lay sahade, the lomasik lay v'lomidi. He doesn't have any witnesses to say that the person who lent him the money is wrong. So it's only two witnesses say that he owes the 50 bucks. There are no witnesses about the other 50 bucks. The e havule sade lalova, if this borrower did in fact have witnesses about the other 50, the lo masikli lo midi, that say he doesn't owe any of that money, so then lo bai Rabbi Chiya liyish tabuwe. Then Rabbi Chiya would not make him make a shvur. You'd have edim hamachshishim zeh, and there's no shvur in that situation. So in Rav Chiya's case, you don't have any witnesses about the other 50. That's why Rav Chiya said you have to go and make a shvur. But in our Mishnah, with the Shnayim Ochas in Betalis, that we tried to bring a riot to Rav Chiya, no, Hocha, in our Mishnah, Ki Hechi Da Anan Sadi Bahai, just like we are basically, as if we're testifying that the one who's grabbing this side of the talis owns that side of the talis, Anan Sadi Bahai, and the one who's grabbing the other side of the talis, we are essentially testifying that he owns that half of the talis. So now you have witnesses basically testifying about the other $50. And nevertheless, the Mishnah says you make a shvua. So therefore, it doesn't really support Rav Chiya because they're not talking about the same scenario. In our Mishnah, by the fact that each one is holding on to the talis, so we're basically testifying that they own that other 50%. So you have witnesses coming along to say the other 50%. Here, in our case with Rav Chiya, you only have witnesses about the $50. You don't have witnesses about the other $50. So therefore, you can't say that therefore it's in support of Rav Chiya. So therefore, we are now schlugged up the Tana Tuna. So the word says, no, if you want to say that the Tana Tuna exists, it goes on another statement of Rav Chiya. Eloid mar v'tana tuna, if we have this statement, it's true that the Tana, the Samora made, that there's our Mishnah in support of Rav Chiya, it must be Aidoch de Rabbi Chiya Itmar. It's going on a different statement of Rabbi Chiya. It's not going to support this Kal v'Chomer, but it's going on the following statement of Rabbi Chiya. What was that? The Amar Rabbi Chiya tells us in another statement, Moneli biyodcha. If Reuven says to Shimon, hey, you got 100 bucks of mine. V'halomer, and Shimon says, no, ain l'cha biyodi. I don't have 100 bucks of yours. However, I do have 50 bucks of yours. That's what I borrowed from you. El nun zuz, and the Halach. And here it is, go and take it. Now, lav dafka, that he's actually giving it to him at that moment, he's saying, wherever it is, it's yours. That's how Rashi understands this. This concept of the halach is what we're going to spend the rest of the shiur basically discussing. And Rashi explains over here, four lines into the widest lines in the Rashi, the halach, lo heutzesim, the hein shochor, bekom mokum shem. Not that he necessarily took them out right now, but he's saying, that 50 bucks is still there. And it's yours. Wherever it is, it's yours. You're telling me that I owe you 100? I don't owe you 100. I only borrowed 50 from you, and now it's back to you, and goodbye. I don't have anything to do with you. The halach. Here it is. Go and take it. So that statement of Rav Chiya says that he's giving him back the 50 bucks. Nevertheless, chayiv, he still has to make a shua as if he's moda b'miktsas. This is still called moda b'miktsas. We don't say when he gives it back to him, it's like he returned the whole thing. And now they're just having a machlokas about the other 50, and he's denying that totally. And when you deny something totally, you don't have to make a shua. No, Rav Chiya is telling us that this is still called moda b'miktsas when he says the halach. And that will be the question of the day. Rav Chiya holds the halach is still called a mode of a mixas, but we'll see the Rav Sheshes in a few moments. We'll see the Rav Sheshes holds that the halach is not mode of a mixas. It's as if you're making it into two separate transactions. Here's the 50 bucks you gave me. It's back to you. Now that 50 bucks is out of the question. You're not telling me I owe you another 50? That I totally deny. And it's not a case of mode of a mixas. It's a total denial. That's going to be the machlokas between Rav Chiya and Rav Sheshes. Now, let's understand Rav Chiya first. My time, why does Rav Chiya say that Halach is still called a din of Modim Mikzas, even though he's giving him back the 50, he's saying, wherever it is, it's yours. It's as if I never borrowed it from you. Nevertheless, Halach nami kemode mikzas hataina domi. No, because ultimately the guy's saying, you owe me 100. And here, even though he's saying, here's your 50 back that you gave me, and I want to have nothing to do with you, no, it's as if he's still admitting to 50 and denying 50. And therefore, the Tana Tuna from our Mishnah, that Shnai Mokhzim Metalis is exactly this. Shnai Mokhzim Metalis is two people holding on to the talis. And we say basically that each one is claiming 50% and denying the other 50% for a hocha, kivan the tofis. Since they're holding on to it, it's as if we have witnesses. And on Sade, the mind the tofis, hey lechu. So we're testifying that what he's grabbing onto, he definitely has. And it's as if he's saying, hey lechu. The other 50 is only what we're arguing about. That 50 that you have, go take it back. It's in your hands. Go take it back. So the 50 that each one is holding on to has the equivalent of halach. And therefore, nevertheless, you have to make a shua on the other 50. So therefore, v'katani yishava. So therefore, the Tana Tuna is bringing a raya from our Mishnah to this new statement of Rav Chiya that halach, you have to go make a shua. Now we introduce Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes disagrees. Rav Sheshes Amar, Halach is Potter. In this situation where Reuven says to Shimon, you owe me 100 bucks, and Shimon says, no, I only borrowed 50 bucks. Here's that 50 bucks, wherever it is, you get it back and leave me alone. And I'm denying totally the other 50, and it's not Moda B'Miktsas. So Rav Sheshes says, when you say Halach, here it is, take it back, it's not Moda B'Miktsas. Why? My time up. Because Kivin D'Amalei Halach, since he says, here, this is yours, take it back, it's as if Hani Zuzi de Komode Bigavayu Keman de Nokitlu Malve Domi. We view the 50 that he's saying Halach as if it's already in the possession of the one who lent him the money. He never really used it. That's the way Rashi understands this. The Gra, you see in Os Aleph in the Gra, brings down that Milva Lahutzah, so he's talking about a Pikadon, that this is a Pikadon and not a Milva. But let's learn simple like Rashi that we're dealing over here with a Milva. So the 50 that he's saying Halach to, Rav Sheshes says, it's as if it's not in my possession. That's in your possession. So it's not a mode of a mix. It's a time anymore. It is just 50 bucks that you're saying I owe you. And I deny that 50 entirely. Again, Hani Zuzi, the Komodi, Bigavayu, that 50 Zuz that I'm mode about, is as if keman denoket lu malvedomi. It's as if you have that money, and therefore beina chamishim, the other 50 that you're saying I owe you, holo moldi, that I'm not molde, and therefore it's not mixes a taina. Hilkach leka hodo mixes a taina, and therefore this is an outright straight hachosha. If Reuven says to Shimon, you owe me $50, and Shimon says I never met you before, I don't owe you any money, so he doesn't have to make a shvua midoraisa. That's not molde b'mixas. There is no such shvua. So the halach according to Rav Sheshes makes the 50 as if it's not in the play anymore. That 50 has been returned, and therefore they're only now arguing about the second 50, and it's a total hachosha. It's not a mode of mixas, and Rav Sheshes says halach therefore is potter from a shvua. So this is a fundamental machlokas between Rav Chia and Rav Sheshes. How do we understand halach? We're going to spend, as I said, the rest of the shiur going back and forth trying to prove each of them right or wrong. No, the Gemara says, well, Rav Sheshes, Kashi Les Nisan. Wait, Rav Chia brought a raya, the Tana Tuna from our Mishnah. It seems to be a valid raya to Rav Chia that Halach is in fact Chayv Moda B'mixas Shua. So what does Rav Sheshes do with that? So Amalach Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says, no, Mas Nisan, Takonas Chacham B. No, I don't hold like Rav Chia that our Mishnah is a Shua Doraisa. I hold like we learned Rav Yochanan. And Rav Yochanan says that this was a Takonas Chachamim. So people just don't walk up to somebody else and grab what they're holding. If you didn't have to make a Shua, people just walk up to somebody else and grab it and say, hey, it's mine. And therefore, we would know it's both of them would be Mochsuk in it, and we'd split it. So a guy would lose nothing. So therefore, the rabbis came along with Yochanan and said, make a takana. You have to swear. Oh, people didn't want to swear falsely. They might steal, but they wouldn't swear falsely. They knew psychology of people. And therefore, that's why the Mishnah says you make a shvua, but it's a takana derabanan and not a deraisa. So that's how Rav Sheshes would answer this problem of the Tana Tuna from our Mishnah. Now what does Rav Chia say to that? The idach. So Rav Chia would answer that even according to Rav Yochanan, in I agree with you, Rav Yochanan, you may hold that it's a din derabanan. Nevertheless, even if it's a takana chachamim, it is only going to be a takana of the chachamim if it's based upon haluch being a deraisa. Because the rabbis only made takonos derabanan that are based upon a deraisa, ke'en deraisa tikkun. So therefore, umiyu, even if you want to say that this is a takon derabanan, nevertheless, it only works, i'amris, if you say, bishlama, that it works out well, mi deraisa helichayiv, that by the din of helich, you're still a chayiv shvua. Why is that? Because misakne rabanan shvua ke'en deraisa. Now we understand why the rabbis made, according to Rav Yochanan, a takon over here, because it's like the din of deraisa. By helich, you have to make a shvua, so to over here, you have to make a shvua. The rabbis will misakin this din based upon the din d'oraisa of halach. But Eliyamis mi d'oraisa halach potter. But if you hold like Rav Sheshes that there is no shvua d'oraisa here, so then why would the rabbis make a takana misakli rabbanu shvua the lesser the kavase mi d'oraisa? Would the rabbis make a brand new takana out of the blue that's not based upon a d'oraisa? If you're telling me that halach is not a din d'oraisa, so then why did the rabbis make over here this takana that you have to make a shvua mi d'rabbanan? Oh, it must be Rav Chia says that I'm right because halach is d'oraisa, so therefore that's where the rabbis came up with the idea to make this takana d'rabbanan. So that's how Rav Chia would explain Rav Yochanan. According to him, Rav Sheshes obviously doesn't hold like that, so therefore each of them still has their shita. Rav Sheshes saying that Halach is part of a Meshvua, and Rav Chia saying that Halach is Chayv Meshvua. Try again. Basically, now we're going to ask a kasha on Rav Chia from the following Braisa, and we turn to Dalet Amud Beis. The Braisa says, Sloyim Dinarim. What is this case talking about? So Rashi and Tap Rashi tells us, Shtar Shekosubo Ploni Lova Miploni. The Shtar says that Reuven lent money to Shimon. Either he lent him sloim, without mentioning how many, the low piresh kama, it just said plural sloim, and miut shtayim is two, so at least it means two sloim, but it doesn't specify how many sloim he lent him, or it was talking about dinarim. V'kein shtar shekosubo dinarim, stam, it doesn't mention how many dinarim. So sloim here means a certain type of coin, a sela, dinarim means a certain type of coin, a dinar, a zuz, and it doesn't mention how many Reuven lent to Shimon. Now, Ma'alva Omer Chomesh. Reuven says, I lent you five sloim. We didn't write it down. I don't know why we didn't write it down, but I lent you five sloim. Or I lent you five dinarim. So Ma'alva Omer Chomesh. And the Lova Omer Shalosh. And Shimon, who received the money, said it was only three. It wasn't five. Now, what's the halacha? Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer. Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, Ho will the hodo mixa satayna? Since he is saying three, not five, but at least he's admitting to three. So therefore, this is a shvuas moda b'mixas situation. The whole sins hoel, the whole do mixas a taina, he admits at least to three. even though he's not admitting to all five, Yishava. This is Modeh B'miktzas. So Shimon Blazer says you have to make Yishua on the other two. Whereas Rabbi Akiva Omer, no. Eino chai v'shvua. Eino elokimeshiv aveda upotur. You're considered like a person who finds something. If you find somebody's wallet, and you say, here's your wallet back, I found it, here's the 20 bucks that was in the wallet. The guy says, hey, there were 100 bucks in the wallet, you stole 80 from me. I want you to make a shvua. Your mother did, there was 20 in there, so you should make a shvua on the other 80. Mother mixed us. The rabbi said, no. When you're returning something, we want to facilitate people to be willing to return something. If they're going to always know that when I return something, and they're being honest, there really was only 20 bucks in the wallet when they found it. No, maybe somebody else found it and took the 80 bucks. I'm not saying the guy's a liar that there were 100 bucks in there, but we only found 20. If you would make them have to make a shvua, people aren't going to want to return something. They say, I don't want to make shvuas, so I'd rather leave it there. I'll leave the wallet there and I'll walk away because I don't want to have to make a shvua. So the rabbi said, no, for a aveda, when you return aveda, there is no din of modeh b'miktzas. So Rabbi Akiva says over here, all this document says is that there were two saloim or two dinarim. He's admitting to three. So he basically could have said, okay, I owe you. It says saloim, miyut rabim ishtayim. So therefore, I owe you two slime. When he's admitting to three, it's as if he's meisha the aveda of that third seller. And therefore, he shouldn't have to make a moda b'miktzas shvua. So this is the machlokes between Shimon Lozer, who says this is a case of moda b'miktzas, and Rabbi Akiva, who says it's not a case of moda b'miktzas, it's kemeshiv aveda upatur. Now, what does this have to do with Ruchia and Rusheshis? So the word now says, Ketanim is, what does the Brisa say? The Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Hoel v'hoda miktzas ataina ishava. This is a case of his being moda b'miktzas. He says, I owe you three, but I don't owe you the other two. That's a classic case of Shimon Lozer says a moda b'miktzas. You have to make it sure. Now, v'hai shtar, this shtar that Reuven has in his possession to say that Shimon owes him salarim or dinarim, the kamode bay, that's essentially everybody agrees that he owes him at least two. This is like halachu. Here, this two that you owe me, it's in my hand, so to say. Ushma mino, nevertheless, then in this situation, you don't make a shvua. Oh, this is a raya to Rav Sheshis. Ushma mino, halach is potter, a raya to Rav Sheshis, and a kasha on Rav Chiya. So what does Ruchia answer? He says, "Lo, that's not a good ray against me because lo olam emelcho shtayim chayiv. In fact, even if he had said I only owe you two slob, he would still have to make a shvua. It's not only when he says three that he make a shvua, implying that halach is potter because the two is already a given. It's only on that third one that he's making a shvua. No, he's making a shvua even if he admitted that okay, this is the shtar and I owe you two. He also makes a shvua over there." So why did he mention it by the case of three? So the high diktani shalosh, even though you make a shvua for two as well, because heilich yichayev to make a shvua. So he mentions it specifically by three, as opposed to Rabbi Akiva. La fu kibi the Rabbi Akiva, the amimeshav vein the heavy potter. If the case was by two, and he said you make a shvua, so one might have thought, but by three, he agrees with Rabbi Akiva, says it's meshav aveda. So therefore, to show us the strength of Rabbi Shimon Elazar Shita, that even by three you make a shvua, so therefore it had to say by three. But certainly by two you make a shvua as well, because of halach you make a shvua. So it's only he said three, lafukim, the Rabbi Akiva, the amimeshav aveda, heavy potter. So therefore, kamash milan, the mode of mixes a tiny heavy chayiv. Certainly, if it was two, and even if it's three, it's not meshav aveda. So that's how Ruchi would answer the question. Moore says that's not right. If what you're saying is correct, the Rabbi Shimon Elazar holds to make a shvua even by two. So then, Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer hoel v'hoda mixes a tiny yeshava. So then, he shouldn't have said hoel v'hoda mixes a tiny yeshava. He should have said af ze yeshava meboile. He should have said even by three, not by three you make a shvua. But he should have said even by three, because certainly by two. So it doesn't say even. It just says hold, makes us a taina. So it implies that by two, he would not make a shvua. Kasha again on Rav Chiya. Hey, look, you don't make a shvua. So the one says, okay. By two, Rav Shimon Elazar says you don't make a shvua, but that doesn't change around the din of halach. By three, that you do because of halach. So elo liolam shtayim potter. I agree with you, Rav Chiya, that by two, he would be potter for making a shvua. Nevertheless, the halach chayiv. But I still hold that this is a raya that halach is chayiv. Why? Because the reason by two you don't make a shvua v'shayni hocha to come mesayle shtara. The reason why he doesn't have to make a shvua by two is because there's a shtar. The shtar is basically saying I owe two. So therefore, it's not a situation of halach. It's a situation of the shtar says I owe you two. So that's it. I don't have to make a shvua on the other part. It's not a mode of mixas. Here's the shtar. I'm paying 100% of what the shtar says. The others, I'm denying totally. They have nothing to do with this, and therefore he doesn't have to make a shvua, even according to Ruchia. But when there's three, so that's a halach situation, halach, you have to make a shvua. Oh, this is a raya to me. Gemara says that's teretz number one. Inami, there's another teretz why Ruchi would admit that by two, you don't have to make a shvua. Because Mishum Dahavali Shtar, Shibud Karkos. Because this is a shtar over here that has a lien on property. And whenever there's a shtar with a lien on property, Vein Nishbon, there is no din of making a shvua. There is no din of modem mitzvahs on karka. So therefore, this is a loan, and this loan document has a lien on it. It says, I lent you, sloim or dinarim, and there's a lien on that. So anybody that has subsequently bought karka from him knows it, that karka is lien to this loan. And therefore, that's why there's no shvua with two. As opposed to with three, there is a shvua because of halach. So that's how Rav Chiya gets around this objection. Iko demosiv misefa. Others say, no, this was a challenge on Rav Sheshes and not on Rav Chiya, and it's from the Sefer this brisa, from Rabbi Akiva. We brought the raya against Rav Chiya from Rav Shimon ben Elazar, and now we're going to bring a raya against Rav Sheshes from Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Eino el kimeshiv avedu potter, that when he's admitting to that third seller, since the shtar only says two, it says sloim or dinarim, and miut rab mishtayim, so therefore it's definitely two. And now he's saying three. He's like a meshiv aveda, and therefore, since he didn't have to say that, he admits it, so he's like a meshiv aveda, and he doesn't make a shvua. Taima diomar shalosh. The reasoning is because he said three, because he was like a meshiv aveda. Ha shtayim. If he said two, so that's what the shtar says. He's not a meshiv aveda. Then he would be chayav a shvua. Aye, but ha shtar. Now we have the word kivan. Some delete the word kivan. In any event, the shtar kivan de komode bay. Since he's admitting it, so he's saying, here, take this money, this is yours, that's like halach, and yet you make a shul with two. Shmamino helchayim. You do make a shul with two because it's halach, kash on Rav Sheshes, and it's a riot to Rav Chiya. Someone says, no, Rav Sheshes would say, lo, that's not correct. Liolom, emelchoshtayim, nami pater. No. In fact, Rav Sheshes would say that even if he admitted to the two because of the shtar, he wouldn't be making a shvur. He would still be parted from a shvur because halach, you don't make a shvur. Why did he say three? So the chiddush of three was lafuki with Shimon Elazar. Rabbi Akiva specifically mentioned three, but also two. But he specifically mentions three to show you that Rav Shimon Elazar is wrong. Because the Amar Modi mixes the time heavy chayiv. Rav Shimon Elazar says this is a modi mixes and yichayiv a shvua. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva is coming along to say, no, I disagree with you. When he's saying three, not two. Two, he would also not make a shvua. But the chiddush is with three, he doesn't have to make a shvua because it's kemeshiv aveda. And I'll show you that this is right. Hochanami mistaber. It makes very good sense. Why is that? Because these folk are daitok shtayim chayiv. Because if you're telling me that you actually make a shvua with two, so then bishalosh hechi padalei Rabbi Akiva. Then how could Rabbi Akiva say you make a shvua with two, but you don't make a shvua with three? A guy would say, listen, I'm going to lie. I admit I owe him two, but then I'm going to have to make a shvua. I'd rather pay him three and not have to make a shvua. Again, people were very, very scared of making a shvua. It's a very serious thing to take a sefer Torah, let's say, in your hand and make a shvua. Even if it's a shvua d'rabban, it's not as scary as a shvua d'raisa. It's still a very scary thing to make a shvua. And people did not like to make false shvuas. They were very scared of that, even though they might do other terrible things. Shvuas was a Yahweh type of thing. No, we don't make false shvuas. So the guy would say, listen, I'm going to have to swear falsely over here. So instead of saying two and then I'll have to swear falsely, I'll say three and then I won't have to swear. So, Bishalosh Hechi Potter Le Rabbi Akiva. So therefore, it doesn't make any sense to say that Rabbi Akiva would hold that by three, he doesn't have to make a shvua. By two, he does have to make a shvua. Because, hi, Iyarume Koma Aram. The guy's going to lie, and he's going to say, he's going to do the following trickery. He's going to say, Savar, Iyaminashtayim, Beinashtabui. If I say two, they're going to make a shvua. You know what? I'll pay the extra seller, Eimashalosh, and I won't have to make a shvua. They have a Kemeshiv Aveda Vivta. And I'll be like Rabbi Akiva says, oh, I'm a nice guy. I'm admitting to that third seller. And therefore, I won't have to make the shvua. And therefore, the guy is going to lie. So therefore, it must be elushmamino shtayim nami potter. It must be, in order to prevent this type of an argument, that also by two, he doesn't make the shvua. And therefore, when he admits by three, so then he's admitting to that extra seller, but he's not doing it to be iarume ma'arim. He's not doing it to go and figure out this cheating way that he shouldn't have to make the shvua. So now we've shown that by two you don't make a shvua. So now this is the kasha to Rabbi Chiya. El kasha to Rabbi Chiya, who says that by two you should have to make a shvua. So Rabbi says no. Even Rabbi Chiya would say shani hasim dekomasai lishtarit, like we said before, that he has a shtar, and that's why since he has a shtar, so this is a totally separate thing. The shtar says two, so that's it. I'm admitting to two. The other three have nothing to do with anything. It's a totally separate thing. Or alternatively, like we said before, inami mishum dahavali shtar shibud karkos. This is a shtar, and therefore it has a shibud karkos on it. And you never make a modem mix a shvua when you're dealing with karka. Then nishma makfiras shibud karkos. So therefore, Ruchia doesn't have a problem. we're saying that by two you don't have to make a shvua. Okay. Now we try again to shlug our sheishes. Masiv Marzutra, Bereid of Nachman. Marzutra, who's the son of Rav Nachman, asked the following shaila from this Mishnah, which is a Mishnah in Shavuos. The Mishnah in Shavuos says, Tano Kalim Vikakos. If Reuven is saying to Shimon, hey, you owe me Kalim, utensils, and you also owe me Kakos. And Hodeh B'Kalim, Shimon says, yeah, I owe you the Kalim. I'm admitting to that. However, the Kofar Vikakos, but I don't owe you any Karka. So this, on the surface, is a mode of b'miktsas. I'm admitting to the kalim, I'm denying the karka. Or vice versa. Hold the b'karkos, or he admits, I owe the karka. However, the kofar b'kalim, he denies the kalim. So one would think this is a classical mode of b'miktsas case, but nevertheless, potter. Because, as we've already just mentioned, you don't have mode of b'miktsas when it comes to karka. What about the Mishnah continues, Hoda miksas karkos. If he admits to some of the karka, but not the other karka, also potter, because there is no din of modem miksas by karka. But if he admits to some of the kalim and denies the other kalim, regardless of what he says about the karka, then he's chayiv in a shvua. Miksas kalim chayiv. Even though there may be karka now that he's also denying or not denying, nevertheless, we don't say, well, the karka, there's no swearing on karka. You're not swearing about the karka, you're swearing about the kalim. Once you admit to some of the kalim and not the others, that's a classic case of modu b'miktsas yechai b'shua. Now, taima, the reasoning is the kalim v'karkos. The beginning part of the Mishnah said the reason why you're punter is because there were kalim and karkos. And the karka la b'shuhi. So therefore, if you admit it to the kalim and not to the karka, or just admit to the karka and not to the kalim, so then you wouldn't be chai b'shua or modu b'miktsas because of the karka. But ha kalim the kalim, as we learned, if he admits to some of the kalim and not to others of the kalim, so then this is dumya the kalim the karkos chayiv. Even though it's similar to the case of the kalim and the karkos, you would be chayiv because it's kalim and kalim. Now, what are we talking about? Hechidami lav yomalei heluch. Isn't it as if he's saying, Shimon is saying to Reuven, hey, take back what is yours. Hey, look, and nevertheless, he has to make a modeh b'miksa shvua. He's saying, yeah, these kalim that I borrowed from you, take them back. Those are yours. I'm not using them. Those are yours. And the others, that's a separate deal. And even though it's heilach, shma mino, heilach chayev, kashon Rav Sheshes. So Rav Sheshes would answer, no, that's not the way to learn the Mishnah. La'olam, eim l'ho kalim, kalim, nami potter. In fact, if he were to admit to some of the kalim and say, here your kalim back. I don't want them. And the other kalim is a separate deal, and therefore halach is potter. So v'ha diktani kalim v'karkos. So then, by the case of kalim and karkos, hakamashvulon hode b'miktsas kalim chayav af al karkos. The whole purpose of that is to teach us that here, even though there is karka involved, he will have to make a shvua on the karka as well. That's what the Mishnah is coming to teach us. V'ha diktani kalim v'karkos. The case of kalim and karkos, the chiddush is, Hakamashulon hode b'miksas kalim. Once he's chayiv and admitting to half of the kalim, but not the other half, so he has to make a shua on the kalim. So the chiddush is chayiv af al hakarkos. He has to make a shua also on the karka. So what it says? So what are you teaching us then? That you can make a shua. Once you have to make a shua on kalim, you then can also be made to make a shua on karka. This is called zokikin. Once you make this shua, so then we can add on, we make basically a gilgul shua, and that's called zokikin, that you have to make a shua on the karka when you normally wouldn't have to make a shua on the karka. That we learned already. What are you teaching us over here? Michael Marshall on zokikin? Tanina, that we learned in the Mishnah and Kiddushin. So how come you're telling us in Shavuos the same thing that you're telling us in Kiddushin? We learned it already. And the Mishnah and Kiddushin tells us, zokikin and nechosim she'elam achrayis, es and nechosim she'elam achrayis lishov aleim. That once you have to make a shua on kalim, so then we can also make you have to make a shua on karka, even though you know normally wouldn't make a shvua on karka. Once you make a shvua on the kalim, we do gilgul shvua and make the shvua on karka. So therefore, the Mishnah in Kiddushin tells us the din of zokikin. So why do we need the Mishnah in Shavuos to tell us the same din? So Gemara says no. It tells it to us twice because hacha in the Mishnah in Shavuos, that's its main place. Hacha ikar, that's the dinim of Shavuos. So therefore, it tells it to us over there. However, in the Mishnah in Kiddushin, that's an aside, basically. So, Hashem, agav grora nisba. Because the Mishnah in Kiddushin is teaching us, as Rashi says, agav grora nisba, the Ayri Hashem, nechosim, she'en lamachrayis, nikdim, im nechosim, she'en lamachrayis, it was teaching us a din of Kenyan agav, that you can acquire karka and also the metalkalim that are on it, so because of b'shtar u'b'chazaka, with the normal ways that you acquire karka. So therefore, the agav, the ayri, the nikneni moim, since it's teaching us a din about how to acquire them, so then tona b'hadar zokin also lishav aleh. So it throws in as an aside this additional din of zokikin, but that's not the primary place for it, and therefore you can't ask, well, we learned it already. It's throwing it in as an aside in kiddushin. The primary place is in shuls, and therefore it's not a problem to have this din twice. And therefore, Rav Sheshet says, this is the purpose of this din, and it's not a kash on me. We turn to Heyom and Aleph. Wait a second, still, Ulaman Yom Helech Potter, but according to Rav Sheshet, it's Helech Potter, so then, Amay Yitzruch Kro, Limute Karka Mishvua. Ha, Kol Karka Helechu. So then, why would we need a specific pasuk over here to teach us that by Karka, you don't have to go make a Shua, because it brings down in the Gemara and Shuas that we derive this from Psukim in the Torah. According to you, Helech is Potter from Mishvua, because it's karka. Every karka is halach, so then why would you need a pasuk in the Torah to teach us this din? So kasha back on you, Rav Sheshes. So Rav Sheshes would say, no, it's rechkra. You need the pasuk that's brought down in Shavuos to teach us this din. And you don't learn it out straight from halach, because hechad dechofar baboros shichin umaros, because if you change the karka, normally the reason why we say by karka, it never leaves the person's possession. It's essentially there. So therefore, that's why you don't make a shvua on karka. It never was stolen, so to say. But if the person changed the karka, he dug in it boros, various types of pits, shichin, various types of ditches, umaros, various types of cisterns and caves, so then he's changing the karka. You might have thought in that situation, there would be a din of modim b'miktsas, therefore, kamash malan, that's why it has to have psukim to show us there's no din of modim b'miktsas, even if you made changes in the karka. That's teretz number one. Inami, teretz number two. Hecha, the tanu kalim, the karkos, when there is a case of kalim and karkos, behold the kalim, the kofer and karkos, so then it has to teach us that in this situation, there is no din of modim b'miktsas. I might have thought that, oh, kalim and karkos, since there's a din with the kalim, so then it also then would apply here with karkos. So there, kamash v'lam, we need the psukim to teach us, no, you never have a din of modim b'miktsas when you're dealing with karka. Unless it's zokikin, and that's a totally separate thing, then you would have a din of modim b'miktsas. But in general, just with karka, there is no din of modim b'miktsas. So Rav Sheshes is okay. We're still going to continue with this discussion tomorrow, but here we'll stop, and with this we conclude today's share.